Mark chapter number 4. Let's go to Mark chapter number 4. I guess I'm going to keep the theme going. Brother Tommy is determined to remind us of all the storms of our lives. Till the storm passes over, rock of ages, a shelter in the time of storm. I'm going to preach on peace in the midst of the storm, amen. If you weren't depressed when you came, we're going to make sure you are by the time you leave, amen. Like some Christians, bless God, I got it rough, and the rest of you are going to have it rough with me, whether you like to or not, amen. Let's all stand. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. What an encouraging portion of Scripture. The heading in my Bible says, Jesus stills the storm. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I don't care how many times I read that, I get goosebumps. That's amazing. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, even amidst the circumstances, Lord, that are a bit different, we still are glad that when we walk in this place, we feel your presence. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for these folks that have come. Thank you for the ones that want to be here, wish they could be here. Lord, circumstances have prevented them. I pray that you would just please send their way a special blessing, even where they're at. Take care of our city. Take care of our community, Lord. Think of the folks over in Bloomfield, Lord, and the two different times this spring they've suffered being hit by tornadoes, and yet you've spared lives. You've taken care of them. And God, I pray, Lord, that the storms, Lord, that we don't see, that don't involve lightning and thunder, but are just as real, that may be going on in the lives of the people in this room, I pray that they would be able to find peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Brother Hong commented, I think Wednesday night, he certainly commented to me out in the foyer. Of course, Brother Hong being our missionary to Australia, we've supported since about 1987. He mentioned to me that as he was traveling across Illinois, he was listening to the radio, and that has been this past Wednesday. And he said that there had been over 1,200 tornadoes since January 1st, over 1,200 tornadoes in the United States of America. The same day that Bloomfield was hit by tornadoes, somebody told me that on that same day across the nation, there were 48 tornadoes just on that one day. Now, folks, that doesn't account, of course, for the rain and the flooding on all of the different things that we're seeing. Hey, does anybody think maybe God's knocking at the door? Can I just share something with you? We have, of course, people who don't want to believe in creation. So science has got to come up with something else. So they've come up with evolution. We've got people that don't want to believe in the signs of the times. So they come up with another thing called global warming. Now, it's amazing that global warming is the cause of when it's too hot, when it's too cold, when it's too rainy, when it's too dry. No matter what happens, they go, global warming. Anyway, let me just say this, folks. These are signs of the times. And there's going to be storms. I think as the United States of America, we better be prepared. We understand as Christians that we, as a country, have drifted into we haven't drifted. I'm afraid we've marched into a post-Christian era. We're becoming more and more pagan. Folks, that means that we're going to suffer some judgment. And you know, the rain falls upon the just, the unjust alike. So God takes care of his people in the storms, but that doesn't mean that we're going to live storm-free lives. And every single person in here, I would tell you that one of three things is true. You've just come through a storm, or you're in a storm, or get ready because one's coming. That's just the way life is. Now, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about having peace in the midst of the storm. It's easy to have peace before the storm, and it's easy to have peace after the storm. But how do you have peace in the midst of the storm? I want to just share three things quickly with you. First of all, let me say this. You can have peace in the midst of the storm, first of all, by determining the reason for the storm. Now, I'm going to break this down very simply, probably oversimplify this. But I think when a storm comes in our lives, we need to, first of all, determine the reason for the storm. Let me give you this. Storms are sent into the lives of disobedient Christians to bring them to repentance, but storms are also sent into the lives of obedient Christians just to build their faith. Now, in the text here, we see a group of obedient disciples who are with Jesus, who are where they are because he commanded them to be there. Now, how could anybody point at this circumstances and say they're being punished for being outside of the will of God? And by the way, let me just caution all of us. When you see a brother, a sister, or even another church go through a storm, don't become a hypocrite. Don't become a Pharisee. Don't begin to immediately point and say, you know what? There must have been something going on in there. They must have some secrets. It's because of this. It's because of that. The honest truth is, the greatest Christians in the world have gone through some of the greatest storms of life. The people that couldn't be any more carefully positioned in the center of God's will are oftentimes the ones that are going through hurricane-type situations in their life. So be very careful about that. But at the same time, let's be fair. Let me read to you out of the book of Jonah. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Folks, the honest truth is, I don't know what your testimony is, but there's been times that I've been in the midst of a storm and I was smack dab in the will of God, and there were times that I've suffered a storm because I was disobedient to God, rebellious to God, and God was going to get my attention. Now, just as we oftentimes got to be careful that every storm we don't point and say, well, it's because they're out of God's will. When we personally are going through a storm ourselves, it would be foolish of us not to say, God, why am I going through this storm? It's good. Storms are a time of self-evaluation. I guarantee you, people that go through storms, if you're not careful, you know, every single time you've got a storm in your life, it's not because you were right with God and your faith was just being built. Sometimes God was just slapping you around a little bit, trying to get you to wake up because you were drifting off out of the will of God in some area of your life. So, number one, if you're going to have peace in the midst of the storm, you've got to be honest. First of all, you got to say, why am I here? Why is this happening? God, search me, oh God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. And boy, if you'll pray that prayer, I found out this. The Holy Spirit is not shy. The Holy Spirit is very specific. He's not afraid to take his finger and put it right smack on the problem in your life if there is one. And if he doesn't do that, oftentimes what he'll do is come alongside you as that great comfort and say, son, this isn't because of judgment. This is because we're going to take you through this because your faith needs to grow. Your faith needs to grow. And so, number one, if you're going to have peace in the midst of the storm, first determine the reason for the storm. Number two, let me give you this, because I believe that this is something we all need to predetermine. We need to decide now that we're going to do, whether we're in the storm now or whether we're not, but we know that there'll be one day. Number two, determine to react with Christian maturity. Determine in advance to react with Christian maturity. And I think one of the great contrasts, of course, that we find in this story is the difference in the way the disciples reacted to the storm and the way Jesus Christ reacted to the storm. And understand, and let's be merciful a little bit, these disciples were not the great church fathers missionaries and church planters they would someday be. These are disciples. They're being discipled. They've been fairly new in the faith. They've just started the journey with Jesus Christ. And so let's not be too hard on them. But the truth is, they acted very immaturely in the storm. Let's just say that out loud. There's a way we can react that shows Christian maturity, and there's a way that we can react that shows Christian immaturity. Now, let me share this with you, folks. What did the disciples do? First of all, they focused on the circumstances. In verse number 37, it says, "There arose a great storm of wind and waves, and beat into the ship so that it was now full." So what they saw was the wind, and what they saw were the waves, and what they saw were the floods. I think everybody in this area can relate to all three of those things. They focused on the circumstances, and then because they did that, they went into panic mode. It says in verse number 40 that they were fearful. And then they began to hurl, can I use the word ridiculous, accusations towards Jesus Christ. They even went to him, woke him up in verse 38 and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now, if we're not careful, we do the exact same thing. Listen, the next time you go through a storm, I want you to remember this. I want you to get this in your mind. You cannot focus on the circumstances around you. You cannot allow yourself to go into panic mode. And you should not ever hurl ridiculous, unbiblical, and untrue accusations towards God. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Christians, and bless their hearts, sometimes it's because they just weren't very grounded in the faith. But they went through a difficult time, and it wasn't no time flat. And they're saying things like, "Well, God just doesn't care about me. God just doesn't love me. I don't know why. God's just not being fair to me." My goodness, if you really want God to be fair to you? Let me just ask you that question. You really want God to be fair to you? I don't. I want God to be merciful to me. I don't ever want to say, "Well, God, you just didn't give me what I deserve." My goodness, you better get the, you know, lightning rod out. No, that's not what you want. That's not what I should be looking at. Now, folks, listen to me. There is an immature way to react to storms, and there's a mature way to react to storms. When I was a little boy, and most little kids are like this, man, storms scare them. And some folks, even on up in years, storms scare them. But when I was a little boy, and all of a sudden I'd wake up in the middle of the night and thunder and lightning, you know, I didn't say, "Wow, I wonder what God's going to do. Wow, an opportunity to observe the power and greatness of our Creator." No, I screamed, jumped out of bed, ran in my mom and dad's room, and jumped right in between them, you know. That's what I did. Now, that's not a mature way to respond. That's okay when you're 5. If I did that now when I was 46... you know, get out of my house, run down the road, bust in their room, jump in the middle of their bed. My mom and dad would not comfort me. They would call 911, you know. They'd have me arrested. They'd have me put away somewhere. Hey, how long you been saved? Hello? How long you been saved? Folks, I'm 46. I got saved when I was 5. I've been saved for 41 years. I don't have a right, excuse me, I don't have a right to react immaturely in the storms. I don't have a right to. Good night. That's foolishness. That's silliness. I'm not saying that I don't sometimes get an initial jolt. I'm not saying sometimes I don't still lapse into unreasonable fears. I'm not saying there's sometimes that little period of panic, but good night. You know what you do? You've got to lean back into your time-tested faith. After you've gone through some storms, and you know the difference between when I was 5 and when I was 15 was opposite. I don't know how the rest of you were, but man, I got fascinated by storms during my teenage years. You know, mom would want us to go to the basement. I wanted to go out in the yard. You know, I don't know what it was, but there's something about that. I want to go out on the front porch and watch it. The thunder and the lightning and the clouds and you know, my daughter Tab says, "Dad, you're crazy." And I said, "Well, God knows where I'm at. If he wants me, no matter where I'm hiding, he's going to come get me. So I might as well go out and look and see what's going on." Amen. You know, I don't worry as much about it now. I don't react the same way that I did when I was 5. And folks, listen to me. Mothers, moms, listen to me. Your children need to see you react maturity to the test of life. Daddies, we can't, excuse me, can I just say to the men, it's time for men to learn to play the man. It's ridiculous the way I see some men just absolutely fall apart in any time of testing. It's time to play the man. Why? Because your wife needs your strength. She needs your stability. Your children need to see your strength and stability even in crisis situation. Good night. Good night. Amen. Amen. I mean, listen, when something would hit our home or a situation would hit our home when we were children, all eyes went to Daddy. And you know what? If Dad was okay, we felt like we was okay. And I think that's what we need to do, folks. Listen to me. We can't afford to act immaturely. Now Jesus, he didn't react the same way. You see, they focused on the circumstances, but what we ought to do is focus on the God of the wind and the waves and the floods. While they were panicking, Jesus had peace in the midst of that. I love that. He brought his pillow. You know, he brought his pillow on the ship. Now, he knew that storm was going to happen, and yet he brought his pillow. Instead of hurling ridiculous accusations, we need to learn to just trust in God. Let me give you a verse, Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, why? I want to draw your attention back up to verse 36. I believe all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. Why did you say a word to the moms and dads? Look at the last sentence in verse 36. And there were also with him other what? Let me say to the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, our church is going to go through some storms. It has in the past, it will in the future. Can I tell you why every adult Christian needs to react with Christian maturity? Because there's other little ships with us. There's other little ships with us. Listen, folks, we are teaching by our actions and reactions to the tests of life. We're teaching the young people in this church to either doubt God or have faith in God. To either panic or have peace. To focus on circumstances or focus on the God of the circumstances. And so let me say this. We have to determine in advance that we're going to react with Christian maturity. Now, let's go down to verse number 41. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. In verse 41, it says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Brother Jerry, how do you have peace in the midst of the storm? You determine the reason for the storm. And folks, if it's because of disobedience, then let's get right with God. Let's repent. If there's no disobedience in our life, it's not as a result of judgment, then let's say, God, you're going to teach me something, and I want to make sure I learn it. Determine in advance to react with Christian maturity. And then number three, remember that Jesus has power over any storm. Remember that Jesus has power over any storm. You know what? Let me tell you about the storms of life. They will start at his command, and they will cease at his command. Now, one of the most important things to remember while you're going through a storm is this. There's going to be a day when Jesus says, "Peace be still." Now, let me give you that as an encouragement. You know, there's the beginning or the before a storm. There's the during the storm. There's the after the storm. I want to make sure that during the storm, I react in such a way so that after the storm, I won't be ashamed of my lack of faith. While you're going through the storm, remember there's going to be an end to the storm. Oh, no, there's not, Brother John. I've been going through. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's going to be a day that God stands up and says, "Peace be still. That's enough. We've done. It's done what I want it to do in their lives," and he's going to settle the situation down. Now, after the storm, you don't want to look back at your behavior during the storm and be ashamed. You don't want to look back at your behavior during the storm and say, "Boy, I was a lousy testimony for Jesus Christ. I didn't have faith. I panicked. I didn't trust the Lord. I didn't focus on the right things. Now, that's okay. Well, some of you are new in the faith. Some of you haven't been down the road very long. It's okay. And you know what? Even that's a learning process. But there ought to be a point in time where you say, during the storm, there's going to be an after the storm. And during the storm, we want to remember that at some point, the storm will cease. Now, let me give you this. Conduct yourself during a storm in such a way that you will not be ashamed of yourself after the storm. Peace in the midst of the storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, for your help and blessing. Thank you for these folks that have come out faithfully this morning. And Lord, I know, Lord, the folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I may not know everything that's going on, but for the most part, I know. I know the ones that are going through storms right now. I know the ones that have just come out of a storm. I know, Lord, some of them are looking at the clouds gather on the horizon. God, they may be going into one soon. Lord, let me just pray for them. Let me pray for them. God, ask that you'd help them and strengthen them. We've gone through storms, me, my wife, our family. The church has rallied around and prayed for us. Lord, it would be remiss for me not to pray for those that are going through storms. And I ask, God, that you would use the Bible to encourage hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I believe, probably looking around, I don't want to just assume, but I believe the vast majority of the people in this room are saved. Let me just say this. There may be someone here that's never received Christ as your Savior. Say, Brother Jerry, I have never been able to look back in my life and know what it is to have true peace. I've just never had that. Well, you can't have peace without Christ in the boat with you. You've got to have Jesus. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He wants to save you. And if you've never been saved, let me extend the message and extend the invitation to include you. You know how to have peace in the midst of the storm? You need to, first of all, receive Christ as your Savior. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. If you've never been saved, I want you to be saved today. How many of you say, Brother Jerry, right now, I'm not complaining. Say, I'm not complaining, but right now there is a storm I'm going through and I'd like to have some prayer. Would you raise your hand? Brother Jerry, that was for me. There's some things I'm going through right now. I'd like to have some prayer. Lord, you see these hands. God bless each and every one of them. Lord, I pray that very soon you'll say, peace be still, and the things of life, Lord, will settle down. But God, while they're in the storm, may they maintain their Christian integrity. Help them to keep their eyes on you. And Lord, may those of us around them give them the encouragement that they need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.